Nice to see you all again. I know our drummer's out on vacation. He's seeking cooler ground. Our lead singer, John, they just had a baby, so congrats to them. That's exciting. And here we are. The summer's cruising by. Life is full. So I think I'm a little bit crazy. My name is Dove, and I'm a pastor here at the Rio. So 4 weeks ago, I gave a message to our other campus by the airport. And so the easy thing would be to give that same message here this morning. But for some reason, I just had other stuff on my heart, and so I made a whole new message. And so I don't know. I think I just felt like God was kind of putting some stuff on my heart, and I was kind of chewing on it. So as crazy as that is, I just got some new thoughts. And I don't know, I'm not the only crazy person. As I think about people do crazy stuff. There was a time many years ago when the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. And they were slaves in Egypt. It was kind of a bad situation. And so this guy named Moses came, and God really put some incredible power on him. And Moses led the people out of Egypt with this great miracle. And they saw God just do amazing things. And so then Moses goes up on this mountain to meet with God and to talk with God and hear from him. And the people, they don't want to go and meet with God. And Moses comes back down from the mountain, and these people have just seen God do an incredible thing, an incredible miracle, who had just been saved and set free, have built this idol. They've built this statue of a calf. And the calf, this golden calf that they made, and they're worshiping it. It's like, how crazy can you be? You just saw God deliver you, and then you're going to make a little statue of a calf and worship that and say, oh, this is our God. This is who brought us up out of Israel. It seems so ridiculous. And as I read about people that have made idols, they like make statues, like little statues, some big statues, and say, this is our God. This is who we worship. This is who gives us what we need. It's like, that's ridiculous. Who would ever do that? Would anybody ever do that? Like, for reals? Like, that's... And yet, I think it's not just something that people did and, like, made statues. There's still... We can still fashion these little gods in our lives. And we've seen God do fantastic things in our lives. And we see this gigantic universe and the power that brought it into being and that holds it together. And yet we make this little god and, oh, you're the one that gives me what I need. You're my satisfaction. You're what I worship. And so I think there's something in that even for us today. I don't think probably any of you have little statues in your house that you worship. And yet I have some images in my mind, some images, some thoughts about God that I find myself needing to break down. And I find myself having other things that give me my sense of value, that give me something that I want, that I worship, that I esteem, and coming back to know God should have that place. So that's kind of what I want to talk about. Let's pray and unpack it. God, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you are constantly at work in us. I thank you that you are not satisfied just to have a little piece of our lives, but You want more. Thank you for being jealous for us. Thank you for caring about us enough that you're angry when we set up something else in our life that we put above you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you want to teach us. God, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. God, I ask that you would reveal your truth. God, I ask that you would touch us. God, I ask that you would be God in my life. God, in each person's life here, that you would, that we would grow in our affection and devotion and worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so there's a salvation in our lives even greater than what Moses did to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. There's a salvation that Jesus Christ has brought for us by his death and by his payment and by his resurrection from the dead, where we have a path, we have a miraculous escape out of the corruption and brokenness of this life into a better life. One day, into this hope, into this amazing future, into this amazing relationship right now. And yet sometimes still we can turn to these other things. Oh wait, this is the greatest thing in my life. This is my calf. You're the one that saved me. You're the one that gives me comfort. You give me life. And so there's something that God wants from us. And God doesn't want, it's not our money. And it's not our stuff. And it's not just some songs on Sunday morning. And it's not just to go to church. And it's not to be really nice. And it's not to drive the speed limit. What God really wants from us is us. And God wants me. God wants all of me. God wants you. He wants all of you. Enough that he would send his son to pay this huge price for you, for me. He wants us. He wants us completely. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." And I think if we don't have a grasp of how amazing God is and how much better his love is than anything else, this is like kind of an intimidating passage. Don't love the world or anything in the world. It's like, man, that's pretty strict. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, all these desires, these lusts of our flesh and our eyes to have and to the pride to be, to attain, to be accepted and successful, those don't come from God. Those are from the world. And if we come at this and we hear that, okay, don't get rid of all this stuff. This calf is really bad. You need to burn it, chop it up into little pieces. Moses cut it into little pieces, burned it, and then ground it into powder, and they drank it, which I thought was kind of weird. But it's like, we just got to get rid of this. And if all we hear is that, is get rid of the calf, it's bad. But we don't see why. Because God is so amazing. Because God has delivered us and saved us and has a great plan for us. It will seem kind of harsh. Even Jesus' words seem a little harsh. "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." To have nothing ahead of him And so as I was thinking about this, I think marriage is kind of a picture of this where you can see this. So I'm married to Holly, and we have shared a lot together. We've shared coming up on 14 years of marriage next month. We've had all kinds of wonderful experiences, challenging times, good memories. We've taken some nice pictures together. We have such a special bond, and God's woven such a beautiful gift in her for me. And our story is such a beautiful treasure to me, the way she is, and not just when we got married, but as it continues to grow and continues to be. And there's challenges, and there's times when we're really frustrated with each other. But in general, it's just like, she is such an amazing person in my life. And we have 5 kids together and another one on the way. We have so much in common. We share our lives together. And so in the wall of our bedroom, we have a bunch of pictures on the wall. And those pictures, there's all kinds of pictures of us. And there's pictures of us kissing, and there's pictures of us when we got married, and there's pictures of us in different locations. And there's these memories associated, and these feelings that come with those pictures, this special bond we have. And so I want to tell you a story that's not true. I got to tell you up front, it's not true. Not that you would believe it, but there's a supermodel that I really like. And it's not just that I think she's pretty, but I think she's super inspiring. Her story is so amazing. And I think she brings hope. She motivates people. And she has an influence in people's lives that's so cool. And she motivates me and gives me power in my life. When I think about her, it's like, man, she makes such a difference all over the world. And her story is so amazing. So I got a poster of her, and I put it on the wall in our bedroom with these other pictures of us. And I don't really know why, but Holly got upset at me. And so I thought, well, maybe it's because it's a poster and all the other pictures are kind of little. So I got a smaller picture of her, and I put it on the wall. And Holly was still upset with me. I don't really know why. And so I said, maybe because, you know, this wall's kind of just for us. I get that. So I took the picture and I moved it into my shower. We have different showers. And so just have it on the wall, a little like motivation in the morning for me. And Holly was still upset. I don't really know why. So maybe because, I don't know. I wasn't sure. So I got a small little wallet-sized picture of her, and I put it in my wallet. And I wouldn't really look at it around Holly, but at certain times when I needed motivation or just like was feeling like, I don't know, a little shot in the arm, I would just look at this picture of this supermodel. It's like, wow, so inspiring to me. Brings me joy and strength and comfort. And she was still upset with me. It's like a little tiny picture. So I was like, oh, maybe she doesn't want that in the house. And so I moved the picture out into the garage. And she's still upset with me. So I'm trying to figure out what to do, if you guys have any ideas. Maybe if I just had electronic pictures instead of paper pictures, that might be better. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I could just sneak it somewhere. And so obviously, that's ridiculous. The answer is I get rid of all the pictures of this supermodel, and I get rid of them, and I don't look at them. And so, as I told you, that story's not true. We don't have separate showers. And We don't even have a garage. So no, there is no supermodel that I want to put up. And if Holly gave me permission to put up a picture of any woman I wanted on the wall of my bedroom, I would put up a picture of her. And if Holly gave me permission to put up a picture of any woman that I wanted in my shower, which is also her shower, I would put up a picture of her. And if Holly gave me permission to put a picture of any woman in my wallet, I would put a picture of her. And if Holly gave me permission to get a garage and put a picture of any woman in it, I would put a picture of her. And not because I think it would make her mad and I think it would make her jealous, but because she's the only woman I want a picture of. Because she's special to me. Because she has a special place in my life and in my heart. And I can be around other women, and I can go shopping, and I can watch movies, and I can enjoy relationships with others. But there's a place in my heart that belongs to her. And it was cool. In the spring, I had this, like, really strong feeling that if I had a choice to have any woman in the world sleep in my bed with me, I would pick her. And that was really powerful for me. And it was powerful to speak that and say, this is what I choose, this is what I want, not because she would get jealous or be angry at me, but because this is the best thing I have, because it is such, she is such a treasure to me. And then I think sometimes with God, we make it sound like it's a bunch of rules. Oh, we don't want to make him mad. I need to, you know, put things in the right place because God might get jealous or annoyed. When really it's, is that the place he has in my life? Jesus quotes this passage in Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?' You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'?" And it's interesting to me, I think sometimes in the intellect of our day, that's what we're saying. It's like, well, God, little God, you don't really know anything compared to our great, vast intellect that we know. And there's something where we give lip service, but not our hearts. And as you read this, it's like this little God. Why would we want a little God? I think for me, it's because a little God, I can control. A little God will hopefully give me what I want. I'm not responsible to a little God. So what are these little gods in our lives? What is it that we turn to? And how do we get rid of our little gods that have a place in our heart? I think just some of them, sometimes our possessions, our experiences, our accomplishments, our status, our sports, our relationships, our intellect, maybe even our education, our pleasures, our comfort, our money, our entertainment, our bodies, our recognition become greater than God. These become what we're truly seeking after. This is what we truly want. And if you have a pen by you, maybe jot down, maybe not necessarily from this list, what is it in your life? What catches your fancy? Just recently, this week, in small group as well as just in my own life, I feel like one of the things that God is showing me is that I put significance, and part of that being accomplishment, sometimes as above God in my life. And sometimes I even come to God hoping God will give me something, power or some strength or intelligence or something, so that I can accomplish, so that I can have significance. And I think in times in my life, significance has been a little God that I have gone after and served. And I think at the end of the day, we like these little gods because we get to be king. We get to be God. We get to be masters of the universe, instead of God being in control and all things being His. And so in my own life, in reality, there are some pictures that Holly and I have talked through. There were some pictures of some past girlfriends that I had in a photo album that I took out and got rid of. There was a Valentine's Day card from the same girlfriend that I wasn't even really aware of. And Holly was like, "Do you mind throwing that away?" It's like, absolutely. And there's been plenty of times that my heart has been tugged on, that I have been challenged. There's been times that I've had to leave websites. There's been times that I've had to turn off movies. I've walked out of a movie theater once, because I knew, not that it was like I had to do it, but that I had something better, that I didn't want to compromise, that I didn't want to be second place in my heart. And so I think, even with this, I don't want significance to be anything in a higher place. And I don't know what it is for you, but what are the things that can sometimes be above God? And to remove those from their place. I like that song we sing. It says, "You can have all this world, just give me Jesus." And we can enjoy things of this world. We can go shopping and watch movies and be a part of it. But I hope we're all growing in a place where God has first place in our lives, where we appreciate what He has done, and He is the ultimate treasure that we have. And so at the bottom, it's just kind of a prayer there. And between you and God, what would you put in there? "God, please make my desire for you greater than my desire for what?" Because God is better. God is the best thing we have. And His plan and His salvation and His desire for us is so good and so pure. And the only right order is for us to be beneath Him, for us to give all that we have to Him, because He'll take care of us and He's good to us. Let's pray. God, I just acknowledge that You are better than everything else I desire in this world. You are better than everything I have. You are better than my marriage, better than my possessions, better than my significance, better than my accomplishments, better than anything I desire. God, if I have nothing at all and I have you, I have everything. God, I ask that you would grow us to be satisfied in you. God, I ask that you would reveal things in our hearts that we have put ahead of you and that we would put them in the right place, that we would remove them from the place of worship and honor in our hearts. God, I ask that you would do that, that you would be the only one on the wall of our hearts. God, I ask that you would be revealing. I ask that you would give people honesty and the ability to check their hearts, the ability to be open, and that you would remove those places and that you would be glorified. God, thank you for calling us and saving us. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.